The following is a ray gun armed, faster than light presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. This is episode number 16 for what's the date, Matt?
Today is January 7th of 2012.
January 7th, 2012, because I totally have the wrong date on our document. It says it's for December 6th. That would be incorrect.
That's priceless, Dave.
This day, just to kind of explain some things that have been going on behind the scene, it took a lot for this podcast to get on the air. There was technical issues on my computer, and then there was technical issues with Skype, so we decided to go over to Spreecast, which I've been using Spreecast for some shows I've been doing with another guy, Glenn Rubenstein, and we'll be doing a brand new podcast on Spreecast next week. But suffice it to say, we decided to move on to Spreecast, and so far, don't touch anything, Matt. If you touch something, we may go off the air. So just I want to see your let me see your hands.
All right.
Don't touch anything.
All right.
This is the podcast where we watch a sometimes good, sometimes bad science fiction TV show or movie. In this case, Matt, what's the word we should use for this?
Oh man. Crap. Steamy, heaping crap.
Is crap all capitalized?
I don't know. If you're going to use crap by itself, you're going to need to capitalize it. But if you put the adjective steaming heap of prior, I think you can keep crap lowercase.
Okay, good. Good to know. All right. So I'm going to say it's crap as well. But let's talk about it a little bit further here. And before we begin, let's play this little thing right here so we know that we're moving on to the next segment. That's really loud. Our assignment this week was the 1998 film called Soldier, starring Kurt Russell, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, a British filmmaker known for other movies such as Event Horizon and a bunch of the Resident Evil films, which I'm thinking that maybe this was a bad film to him as well, because the rest of the films on his list are pretty good, are not too bad. You've seen the Resident Evil films, right?
Yes, yeah.
What do you think of those?
I'm a fan. I've always liked the video games a lot, so I wouldn't say that they were good film adaptations of video games, but they were good movies.
Okay, but so he's a good director then, and this is just a bad film.
Right, but you're looking, when did this come out?
1998.
The first Resident Evil came out probably about 4 or 5 years after this.
So it's an early film for him.
Right. You could chalk it up to that. Also, I saw that the script was 15 years old at the time. So, I mean, you're dealing with something that was written in the mid-80s, or actually early 80s, an early film for a director. You could just kind of chalk it up to that.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay. The stars of this film, Kurt Russell, Gary Busey, who I thought was underused greatly. I mean, for the parts he was involved in, he was great, but I think he could have been used a lot more in this film. What do you think?
Yeah, and I guess it was me being younger than you, the kind of Gary Busey to me is only useful when he's a complete nut job. Like his favorite role to me was when he was in Black Sheep. He was just a complete whack job. So that's Gary Busey at his finest to me, which is now how he is in real life. So to see him really calm and stuff was kind of weird to me. So I could take it or leave it, unless he got completely whacked out. Then we could see some more of him.
Okay. So you want either no Gary Busey or whacked out Gary Busey?
Pretty much. Okay. Give me Busey or give me that.
That's your slogan. That's your mantra for life.
It is.
All right. So also Jason Scott Lee, you may remember him from the Bruce Lee story. Michael Chiklis, I didn't recognize Michael Chiklis. Which guy did he play?
I don't know. I'm going to take a look. I don't even remember.
But this is, it would be a young Michael Chiklis, so he would look a lot different than we, than the Michael Chiklis that we knew eventually from TV.
Right. He was Jimmy Pig.
Who was that?
Whoever that was.
I don't think he was one of the soldiers. All right, so I'll run down the rest of the cast. Sean Pertwee, and that name may sound familiar to Doctor Who fans, because he is the son of John Pertwee, who played the third Doctor in Doctor Who back in the 60s and early 70s. Mm. He was one of the settlers. He was the only guy in the film with a British accent, or I think more Scottish accent. That's Sean Pertwee.
Okay. The only person that I recognized, and this probably means nothing to you, but it was the, I can't think of her name. She was the woman settler who gave the speech right before they went outside to the war.
Okay, yeah.
She plays the mom in the HBO show 6 Feet Under.
Okay, yeah. I've seen her before as well.
Yeah.
All right, so this movie was written by David Peoples, who co-wrote the script for Blade Runner. By his own admission, he considers Soldier to be a sidequel or a spiritual successor to Blade Runner. It also I knew I was going to have trouble with this word. Obliquely references various elements of stories written by Philip K. Dick, who wrote the novel, of course, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which became Blade Runner. Or film adaptations thereof. A spinner vehicle from Blade Runner can be seen in the wreckage of the junk planet that's featured in the film. So this takes place in the same universe as Blade Runner. Think of it that way.
Huh.
Have you seen Blade Runner?
No. Okay. You told me to watch it, and I never got around to it.
So basically you don't listen to me. So
I don't listen to you. I have to listen to my wife more.
I recommend good quality films that you don't watch.
Oh, let's see. What is this? The 16th podcast. I missed one. You've recommended me 15 movies. I think I've enjoyed 3 or 4.
Okay, so my record's not good.
No, you got a pretty bad record.
Well, some of these I pick are bad for a reason, and we don't have a lot of choice sometimes because we're only watching films from Netflix, so there's that as well.
Right, and them being bad kind of makes for a good conversation, so yeah, I'm not arguing at all.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's move on with this. There were some points during the film where Sergeant Todd, that was Kurt Russell, his service record was shown on the screen, and a bunch of names of other film references. References from Stargate, Tango and Cash, Escape from New York, and all movies Kurt Russell was in, along with references to Star Trek. So there was a point in the film where a screen came up, and it showed Sergeant Todd's record, and there's a bunch of names and places, and they were like obscure references to all of his films and then Star Trek as well.
There were some other things in there too, but I'll wait till later to let you know that one.
Okay, all right. So one more thing. Soldier was obviously a box office flop. It was shot with a budget of $75 million. The film only took in $15 million. It was critically panned in part due to lackluster dialogue that had Kurt Russell speaking only 79 words over the course of the 99-minute film, 11 of which are sir. He said sir quite a bit, even to the women. Not ma'am, sir.
I think that in a very bad, poor decision way, it was done to kind of create a robotic feeling to him.
Okay, yeah, and all he knew was sir, because the people that he would speak to would be his commanders, or his, you know, people above him, so he would obviously say sir. So that's all he knew.
Right, but yeah, no, I'm not, yeah, I agree with that, but I think the fact his lack of speaking was supposed to be, you know, he was bred to kill, not to steal, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I may have just made this movie sound considerably smarter than it is.
All right, so let's move on with your review. Tell us in your own words what you thought about Soldier. Or tell us the story. What's it about?
I was really dreading this part because it was really hard for me to like put the pieces together to figure it out.
Yeah,
but
it's very very convoluted.
What's that?
It's very convoluted.
Yeah, and it's like such a dumbed down story that I felt there had to be something more to it, so I kept waiting for it. But Sergeant Todd is kind of like the be all end all of killing machines, and the guy with a sweet mustache comes in with basically better soldiers, and he tells him that all of his guys suck, and that one big beefy guy basically kills three guys, Sergeant Todd being one of them. And then in the process of the fight, the big meatball's eye gets popped out. So he's, you know, they throw a fit. But,
and by the way, that's
Todd and two other guys.
That's Jason dumb. Scott Lee, by the way.
Is? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I had it. So his name is Kane607. Okay. So Sergeant Todd and two other guys get dumped on a garbage planet, basically. Sergeant Todd's not really dead. He gets up and he finds like a settlement and he kind of socializes a little bit. And as a joke, when I say it was like this weird coming of age tale, and I guess in a sense it kind of is because he starts to feel. And then when the super soldiers like come to the planet, he kind of fights for the settlement. That really was about all I got out of this movie.
Okay. Yeah, I was expecting more, but I saw it coming. I mean,
I was waiting for there to be like a love interest thing, but like there was the scene where the lady of the family that finds him on the planet goes to give him a hug and he just like awkwardly steps away, and I'm like, well, every movie needs kind of like that back love story, no matter how much you try not to. So I feel like if that was supposed to be the case, kind of did a bad job.
Yeah, that was kind of just, that was kind of hinted. It was like an underlying thing that was maybe going to happen, but it never did because
right.
I guess the excuse was he's not bred for that. He's not bred for love. He's not bred for having relationships. But he kept on looking at her like this weird. He would look over and stare at her really weirdly, which was I thought was off-putting.
So is it like he's kind of getting like a tingling, but he's not sure what it is? Like,
that's possible. See, coming of age. I think you were right.
See.
All right, so let's move on to what we learned here. Hang on. And for the people in the chat room, this is the section where we kind of run down the parts of the film that we learned something from, and we play audio. So it's just another way of getting to know the film a little bit. And let me start after I move to the next piece of audio here. All right. Make sure it's turned up. All right. All right, first thing that we learned what was different about the new crop of soldiers.
They're very much improved, Captain.
Improved? How?
In every way possible. You see, your old ones here, they're selected at birth. And my new ones, we're talking recombination. They're practically manufactured using DNA profiles. And some manipulation. More endurance, quick responses, better hand-eye, improved technical training. It's a whole different standard.
My daddy was in maintenance. And he had a saying. He used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Maintenance. I'm afraid I don't get your point.
Okay, so that conversation was going on between the guy with what you said had the sweet mustache and Gary Busey. And that was the first time, first of many times, that Gary Busey brought up my papa used to say or my daddy used to say.
Good old Gary Busey. I thought he was in the set the tone for being kind of a nut job, but disappointed.
Yeah, never happened. All right, so what did you learn?
We learned that the people of the desert planet had a lot of questions when Sergeant Todd arrived.
How could there only be one? How could he get here?
He was unconscious when we found him. You couldn't ask him anything.
Hang on, Jimmy's back.
There's nothing out there. I couldn't see nobody. Couldn't see no vehicles, no ship, nothing. Plus the wind's up again real strong.
Everybody calm down.
All right. That planet had the strongest wind in the universe, I think. It was, you know, the wind was almost like another character in this film, in a way.
It was always around, too.
And whenever it would
never not win.
And whenever it came up, they were in deep crap, because hang on to something or you're going to die, because you're going to be blown into something that moves that will cut your body in two. Pretty much. All that junk laying around. Clean up all that junk. Come on. You guys have been there for a while. Start cleaning the junk up.
Like a bad episode of Hoarders.
It's kind of. In space. Hoarders in space.
Yep.
a new TV, new show on Discovery, I think. All right, so we also learned what was on Sergeant Todd's shoulder.
I heard words on his shoulder. Ten House of Gate, Argentine Sector, Shanghai 2012.
Sandra, the Ten House of Gate was a battle. He's a soldier.
And thus the name of the film right there. He's a soldier. Soldier. It says it all, Matt.
Not raspy enough.
What's that?
They're not raspy enough.
That guy, by the way, that was the actor whose father was Doctor Who. That was John Pertwee. I mean, Sean Pertwee. John Pertwee was the third Doctor of Doctor Who. Just for your information. I know that you're not a fan of Doctor Who, so you have no idea who I'm talking about.
I know the show. You made me watch it, but yes.
All right.
I'll just keep that little niblet in my back pocket.
You never know when you might need it.
Yeah, right? All right. You can always use some Doctor Who trivia.
Exactly. All right, so what did you learn, Matt?
We learned what foreshadowing means.
All right. Here we go. Or no, this one right here. Hang on.
The biannual security sweep. We'll be patrolling the Arcadia system.
Now, we send the new soldiers out on patrol. Routine stuff, as you say, Captain, but good experience, and I'll have a chance to see them in a non-training environment.
What about opposition? Let's say we do encounter activity. Miners, refugees of some sort.
Well, we won't. If we do, they will be officially classifiable as hostiles.
Just by being there.
We don't want paperwork, Captain, and we certainly don't want passengers.
That moment right there, I knew exactly how the rest of the movie was going to come out. You knew exactly what was going to happen next. You know, there were the other soldiers were to come down to that planet, find the refugees and Sergeant Todd, and start blowing them away. And that's where Todd would come to the rescue. And that's exactly what happened in this film.
It's exactly what was supposed to happen in the movie.
Yeah. But that, I mean, from that scene right there, you wouldn't have to show the rest of the movie, because that you could tell from that scene exactly what was going to happen.
Right. And I guess. But, you know, they needed another 30 minutes worth of material, so.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's move on here. We learned that Sergeant Todd isn't very good at small talk.
What's it like being a soldier? What do you think about? What about feelings, then? You must feel something.
Fear.
Fear.
Fear and discipline. Always.
So those were that was probably the most amount of words in a row that he spoke during that whole movie right there. Three words.
You know, I guess I never realized how little he talked until you just mentioned it. I feel like everyone else did enough talking for him.
Okay. All right. Good to know. The reason that audio sounded kind of weird is I took out a bunch. I mean, there was probably 15 seconds of just nothing between when she talked and he talked. And then she would talk some more, and there'd be another 20 seconds of nothing, and then he would talk. So I had to do some creative editing in that clip right there.
There was long-form gazing.
There was, yeah. Mostly on his part.
Yes. He kind of had that dumb, doe-eyed look most of the time, though.
Yeah. I think he was just, you know what I think was happening here? He never saw women. I mean, maybe there was somebody in the military that was a woman, but I don't think that
right.
he really saw them as women. He saw them as either fellow soldiers or most likely somebody above him in rank. So seeing a civilian woman, I think, was something new for him.
Right. Yeah, you just saw them as co-people.
Yeah, or the enemy, or maybe he would see women on the battlefield and he would just kill them in the past, in his life.
It's really hard. It's just speculation, pure speculation.
Yep, speculation of a really, really bad film. All right, so
anyways,
moving on to you, what did you learn next?
Yes, we learned how the colonists really felt about Sergeant Todd.
No one here has any animosity towards you, Sergeant. None of us here is your enemy. Furthermore, we respect your qualities. We have no doubt that you are a very, very good soldier. But because of your training, we don't think you'll ever be able to function in a group like this. A community of families, of children, where the ability to fight is not the sole purpose of existence. You're different from us, Sergeant. We don't hate you for that. But we have agreed that to try to include you would pose an intolerable risk to the community itself.
Okay, we don't hate you, Sergeant Todd, but we're going to banish you.
Yeah.
And then when the soldier...
It's not me, it's
you. Yeah, it's not... Exactly. That's your typical breakup right there. But
yes,
instead of going on your merry way, you're going to be banished to the junk pile out back.
It's happened to everyone at least once.
Either the actual junk pile or the metaphorical junk pile.
The metaphoric junk pile.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. My turn. We learned what the word emasculation means with this clip right here.
Riley?
We'll be issued weapons, sir.
No, Riley. Only soldiers get weapons.
Yes, sir.
You don't even have to salute anymore, Riley.
I was glad to see her die. Or no, I don't think she died.
What a terrible thing to say.
Well, she didn't die. She was one of the ones they left on the planet when eventually Sergeant Todd and the colonists who were left took off in that ship. I think she was one of the people that were left behind. I don't think she was actually killed, but
so you don't see her die, but we can all assume that she died.
Yeah, but wasn't that mean of her to say, "You don't need to salute me anymore. You're not a soldier anymore." It's like taking.
Yeah, no, that part was. I remember that part. It was kind of weird and angry.
It was like,
I don't want to say sad, but I mean, you can see like the sadness in the guy's eye.
I know. Because that's all he knew. His whole life was to fight, and now he doesn't have the ability or the reason to fight anymore. It was Sergeant Todd, but in a different way, sort of.
Because right.
At least he was out there defending the colonists. All right. So you got something on Gary Busey?
Oh, you bet I do. We learned that Gary Busey's father said a lot of stuff.
My daddy always said, when you want to insert a nail into a piece of wood, you don't do anything fancy or glamorous. Just take the damn hammer and hit the son of a bitch till it's in.
What exactly does that crap mean in English, Captain?
Withdraw your men. Load them up with heavy artillery. Then when night falls, they go back in and they pound that place with mortars, rockets, and cannons. Everything we got.
What exactly does that mean? Well, listen to it and figure it out. It's not that hard. It's what his daddy said. His daddy didn't seem like a very... I'm sure his daddy was a great person and had, you know, great... what's the word I'm looking for? Common sense, but not book smarts. And this is just...
Well, yeah. Soldiers... Stereotypical movie soldiers are never really depicted as being very smart. They're just meatballs.
And especially for these guys, the antagonists, they're meant to look dumb. They're all, the antagonists are always meant to look dumb. And this guy was especially not in a smart light. All right, so one more, and this is me. We learned what they were going to finally do to finish off the colony. Not very nice.
Captain.
Sir.
You must have some of those new DX-57s on board.
Planet killers, you mean?
We carry 15.
One's enough. Set on a short fuse and we get out of here. Boom. We win.
Of course, the DX-57. We all know what the DX-57 is. Oh, the planet killers, sir? Okay. That was a great
plug. You weren't sure what a DX-57.
Well, that was for us. That was for the viewers' benefits, because we wouldn't have any idea what the DX-57s were until Gary Busey said, "Oh, the planet killer, sir."
So they should have just called it the planet killer instead of.
Well, they had to be all fancy schmancy with the military terms, the DX-57s. Yeah. So I was wrong about that woman. I had forgotten that they blew up the planet. So that woman was somebody that did die at the end.
Told you she died.
All right. You're right, I'm wrong.
Well, I don't hear that one a whole lot, so I'm going to hang on to that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and pull that little audio clip out of here when we're done, and I'm just going to play it to myself at night.
Okay.
And when I'm sad.
For your self-esteem?
I said I was right.
All right, this is not any part of it, what we'd usually do, but I wanted to play this audio just because it was funny. Here we go.
A growl? You heard a growl?
Well, he didn't say the word growl. He said a throat noise, but I asked him to imitate it, and it sounded like a growl to me.
Okay, I just realized something. That's part of the quiz. So I totally gave you a right answer.
Yes! I'm going to get at least one right.
All right, speaking of that, let's start the quiz right now. And for Jeff, our one viewer in the chat room, thank you for sticking around. This is the quiz portion of the podcast where we further learn more about the movie and we find out how much Matt and our listeners learn from watching the movie that we're talking about, which this week is Soldier. So, Matt, are you sitting comfortably?
So,
I don't know why this music's so loud. All right, I have to adjust that next time. Okay, first question. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. In the first scene of this movie, what letter number combinations were on the plaques being put on the baby's bassinets? In the first scene of this movie, what letter number combinations were on the plaques being put on the baby's bassinets? This is like the very, very first scene. Was it A, 1A? This is going to be kind of confusing because I'm throwing in our letters too. So it's A, 1A, B, 9X, or C, C17?
I'm going to go with C17.
Are you sure?
No, but that's my guess.
Okay. And you guessed wrong, my friend. I'm sorry.
It's bound to happen.
All right.
What was the answer?
Oh, sorry. 1A. It was 1A. Which
that seemed too obvious to me. I'm upset now.
With this movie? Go with the obvious, because they'll just go with how bad it was.
I guess that's my fault for actually overthinking that one.
Yeah, you don't overthink Soldier, believe me. It's not a cerebral film at all. It's not a smart person's film. All right, so one wrong, you got six more to go, and you pretty much got one because I gave it to you earlier. Here is question two. When the new soldier was fighting the old models up in the chains, what was the ratio? What was the ratio of new soldier versus old soldier?
At its height, it was 3 old soldiers to 1 new soldier.
Yay, Matt, congratulations. You were paying attention.
A little bit.
Was it kind of weird that they fought up in this up in the chains? But of course, the reason they were up there was to show how fast the soldiers could actually get up the chains. So I just answered my own question.
Right. And it wouldn't make them look space-agey and awesome if they were just fighting on the ground.
Yeah, it made it a little bit more interesting to do it right up in the chains. All right. Question 3. What kind of ship did Sergeant Todd and his men, who were thought to be dead, wake up on? What kind of ship did Sergeant Todd and the other two guys wake up on? And this is a straight answer, not multiple choice.
It was like a garbage ship. Are you looking for, like, a scientific name?
Well, I mean, it's close enough. The answer I was looking for was waste disposal. But you pretty much said what it was. It's a garbage ship, you know, waste disposal just being all fancy with it.
Yeah, it just makes it sound a little less sucky.
It makes the garbage ship sound nicer when you say when
it
you call
does. It's like instead of saying that you're a garbage man, you could just say you're a waste disposal management
professional
guy. Professional, there we
yeah.
go.
Yeah, advisor.
Advisor, waste disposal management advisor.
Team member. Just keep on tacking on words. The more words you tack on, the more fancier it sounds. All right, so question 4. What numbers were on Sergeant Todd's cheek? And this is multiple choice. Was it A, 1701? Was it B, 3465? Or C, 6719? Again, A, 1701, B, 3465, or C, 6719.
Jeez. What was the first one again?
It was 1701.
I'm going to go with 1701, Bob.
I think I know why you picked 1701, because it sounds familiar. You know why?
Why?
It was on, that's the number on the Enterprise, 1701, NCC 1701.
I really think that I would have known that?
Well, maybe subconsciously, I don't know.
I was just trying to visualize what was on his cheek, and that 1701 seemed...
No.
I don't remember being like a long number, and 1701 is kind of short.
Well,
amount of strokes. I don't know.
They're all the same length. The answer is 3465.
Well,
I was just trying to be all fancy, and I was trying to trick you with something that I thought you might know, but you're not a Trekkie like I am.
I mean,
so
we can do that. We can make everyone think that I'm really smart and watch a lot of Star Trek.
No, I'm not saying that you're not smart. I'm just saying that I thought that you knew Star Trek. I'm not saying you're dumb at all, Matt. Don't start accusing me of something I'm not calling you or thinking that you are.
Are we going to fight right now?
We won't fight in front of Jeff. I'm sorry. We're sorry, Jeff. We won't fight anymore. All right. So question 5. And this is another multiple choice. What was the name of the planet the colony was on? Was it A, Arcadia 234, B, Zelax 54, or C, Orion Prime? Was it Arcadia 234, Zelax 54, or Orion Prime?
It was Arcadia 234.
Yeah, 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 yeah. See, you get one wrong, you get one right, you come right back.
It's a vicious circle.
It is a vicious circle, yes. All right, so 2 more questions, and I think you've got one of them from the clue that I gave you earlier. And this is what it is right here, this question. What was the sound that Todd made into the walkie-talkie after he killed a bunch of the new soldiers on the planet? What was the sound that he made that one of the a-hole soldiers people said that he made in the walkie-talkie?
A growl or a throat sound.
A growl? You heard a growl?
Well, he didn't say the word growl. He said a throat noise, but I asked him to imitate it, and it sounded like a growl to me.
That character was kind of funny. I like that character. He was kind of the goofball.
Yes.
But yeah, you got that right. Hang on, that's the wrong thing.
Ooh, wrong sound.
All right, here. Yay! All right, congratulations. You only have like two wrong, I think. Let's see.
Yes, so far.
All right. All right, final question. Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
What was the number of the crawler that Sergeant Todd commandeered? What was the number of the crawler? There was two of them. What was the number of the crawler that Sergeant Todd commandeered?
I don't know. Two?
You know what? I had a hard time coming up with questions from this movie because this movie was so stupid that it wasn't that like unique or clever, and I really had a hard time coming up with cool questions for this. So,
well, that one could have been really hard because I don't remember seeing a number. I thought about it. I was like, oh, maybe it was like 14, 12, and I was like, yeah, but knowing this movie, it was like they were numbered 1 and 2.
And I said there was two of them.
Well, yeah. So that's why I picked two.
Process of elimination. All right. Cool. All right. Congratulations. You win the quiz.
What was that? I thought there was one more.
No, that's it. That's 7 questions. That's our standard amount of questions.
I'll take it.
All right. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Final thoughts, favorite parts, observations. I'll let you go first.
Damn, there was one I thought of earlier that I can't. Oh, let's see here. I got it written down. There was Sergeant Todd had an ordnance level. There's two of them. One was Doom MKIV BFG, which was the cheat code that you typed into the command line in Doom to get the BFG.
Where was this in the film?
I don't remember. I remember I was reading about it. It was the ordnance level. I think it was at the beginning when he was like being programmed, maybe.
Okay. You know,
there was that computer screen and it showed all that stuff.
I came to the conclusion that the filmmakers, if they wouldn't have been so clever, maybe they could have actually made a good film out of this. They were too busy trying to make all these like inside references that they didn't pay attention to the actual movie to make this film good. So, lesson learned, don't be too clever with your films. Just make a good story, a compelling film.
That's really funny. One more thing. When I was poking around, we were talking about it. The lady who played Sandra, so it was the
blonde.
The lady from the colony?
Yeah.
She is married to Lars Ulrich from Metallica.
Sweet. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Well, I shouldn't say they're married. It just says partner.
Okay.
They have one son together.
All right. So they were... knowing those guys, all those guys have been through so many marriages that I'm sure they're to the point now where they're like, you know, let's just live together and have kids. Who cares?
Let's not get married anymore.
Yeah. All right. So here's my observations. There was a really weird musical interlude. Do you remember that part?
No. There were some parts that I just kind of blacked out.
It was just so bad. Just burn it from my memory.
Yeah.
No, there was a scene where it was like they were working and Sergeant Todd was like doing something for the first time that wasn't killing, and they had this weird music in the background. Like it was like a montage that kept on showing different scenes of people doing different things and this sappy music in the background. I thought it was kind of weird.
I don't remember that part, and it's probably a good thing I don't remember it.
Yeah. Okay, that was kind of weird, some of the garbage that was on the planet that Todd was dumped with. Like, there was an aircraft carrier, like a whole aircraft carrier dumped on the planet. Why? How would that happen? How would an aircraft carrier get dumped on the planet? Where did it come from? And why were they dumping it on the planet?
That, you know, they don't care. how it got there. It's just there.
They don't. Yeah. Okay. All right. And there was a lot more other weird things than that too. Like there was the what was the thing that I noticed? There was mailboxes that were used to create some kind of fence where they could hold on to when the wind came up. I think it was mailboxes or something similar to that. I thought that was kind of.
I remember a pipe that Kurt Russell hold on to, like right when he gets to the planet, but I don't remember mailbox.
Okay, all right. But there's just, if you notice, if you ever go back to this film, which you probably won't, or if, if you're listening to this podcast and want to watch it, there's just take note of the odd things on the garbage planet that's been dumped there. That's all I'm saying. Okay, don't you think one of the first things the colonists would have taken care of was how to control the snake population?
No.
They were all over the place.
If you live on a garbage planet, the last thing that you need to worry about is snake population. Let's be honest.
That's something that we didn't really bring up in the previously were the snakes. That was kind of like another plot line in this film because... They were always, it was always there because that kid, let's go back a second and talk about this movie a little bit. But there's the blonde, the looker, and the Scottish husband, Doctor Who's kid. They had this kid, they had a little boy who didn't speak because he was bit by a snake and almost died. Is that what the deal was? I think?
Yeah, he was bit by a snake when he was born. And they like got most of the venom out, but he can't talk now.
But Kurt Russell came in and basically taught this kid how to kill snakes because there was a scene later on that a snake was slithering up on the bed between his parents, and all of a sudden this like something comes out of the blue and kills the snake. Was it a shoe?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, it was a weird subplot. Was the whole snake situation? Are you looking something up?
Yeah, sorry. just staring off into nothing.
Are you doing another podcast?
Me?
Yeah.
Wait, are you like asking if I'm cheating on you right now? Wait, this is getting weird now.
I know. This is probably the weirdest podcast that we've done. And you know what?
It's pretty strange.
And I blame Spreecast. I blame us being on Spreecast for this. All right. It's just been a weird day. This movie was the most predictable thing that I've ever watched, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely not something I want to watch ever again. Could we up the quality of the movies you make me watch? Otherwise, I'm going to start picking them, and you're not going to enjoy that.
Yeah, we talked about this on Twitter, or we talked about this offline the other day, that you would pick a movie that I would have to watch. But then it wouldn't be the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. It would be some other genre film podcast.
Well, it could be Pussy Day on the Sci-Fi Film School podcast.
What'd you say?
So it could be Opposite Day.
Okay.
On the Sci-Fi Film School podcast.
I'll think about it. Maybe we'll do it like on April 1st or something, like an April Fool's thing.
Let's see. April 1st is on a Sunday. So
okay.
It could work.
We could do it. Could do it on a Sunday. All right, so
it's up to you. You're the boss. I just show up. I'm just the S-man around here.
Okay. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. Let us know what your favorite parts of this movie were, if there were any for you, by leaving a comment on the website Galactic Netcasts. That's our website, galacticnetcasts.com. Just go to the proper page for this podcast. It'll be pretty easy to find. You can also leave us feedback by... leaving us a voicemail. The number is 805-328-3966 or emailing galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Now, next week's assignment is something that I've never seen, and I've always been kind of freaked out by it, but I decided we should go for it since it's on Netflix, and you never know with Netflix how long a movie will be around. So next week's assignment is the 1971 Stanley Kubrick movie based on the 1962 novel of the same name, A Clockwork Orange. Have you seen it, Matt?
Yes, I have. I own it, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's a very, 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 very odd movie.
Yeah.
Like, incredibly weird. There's a lot of disturbing parts of it.
Okay, that's one of the reasons I've been kind of hesitant to watch it. So, but I figure, you know, I'm going to take one for the team. We're going to do this for the podcast. That way I'll have it checked off the list of movies I've never seen before.
There's, I mean, yeah, it's one to see, but it's one to see once. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of references to it in pop culture. Like, I know there was an episode of The Simpsons where Bart dressed up as the main guy for Halloween.
That is, yeah, awesome.
Leave it to me. And I know that there's been other references to it, so it's definitely one that you should see just because of what it is.
Okay, so here's basically the plot. In a future Britain, charismatic delinquent Alex DeLarge, played by Malcolm McDowell, is jailed and volunteers for an experimental aversion therapy developed by the government in an effort to solve society's crime problem, but not all goes to plan. Is that where it gets weird?
No, I mean, it's weird before they get arrested, but, and I don't want to give too much away, but they like go to jail and they start doing a bunch of these weird tests, like mood. I don't know if they're mood alteration or like behavioral altering stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's out there. Kind of looking forward to watching it again, but it's a 2+ hour movie too, so.
Okay. All right, well, I'm up for the challenge if you are.
Oh, no, of course. I go back to school soon, so I need something fun to do between now and then.
All right. I'm trying to... My document is not behaving. I can't get to the very bottom. But I should know all this by heart by now without actually having to read it. All right, so basically, before we wrap this show up, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast by going to galacticnetcast.com, either clicking on the iTunes logo, or there's a little thing in the very right-hand side of each page where you can fill out, and we'll have new episodes emailed to you. And we're also on Stitcher Smart Radio. Do you want to tell us more about Stitcher Smart Radio, Matt?
Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, let's call it an Android phone, BlackBerry or WebOS phones, on demand and on the go. If you don't have it, you can download it free at Stitcher.com or in your Android or Apple app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Well, it is smart because you're not using storage. You're streaming the podcasts over the app on your device. You're not downloading. You're not syncing to iTunes. You're not taking up valuable space that you could be using for, like, pictures or video or other stuff on your device. And Stitcher is, like, on other things. Like, I believe they have a Roku app, and I think they're in the Ford vehicles, if I'm not mistaken. So they're prevalent.
Oh, is it?
What's that?
I said, oh, is it?
Yeah. So they're all over the place. So look for Stitcher Smart Radio and get us there as well. You can find us on Google+. Just search for Galactic Netcasts. Also on Twitter, Galactic Netcasts without the S at the end, and Facebook.com/GalacticNetcasts. And where can people find you on the internet, Matt?
I got Google+, and Twitter at DramaMap.
And Matt Stein on Google+, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, sometimes I take for granted the fact that nobody knows my name.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Film School Podcast. Until next week, Matt, we'll see you later.
See you later, Dave.
This has been a presentation of Galactic Netcasts. To subscribe to this and our other podcasts, go to galacticnetcasts.com.